Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Take some time to visit my website. Spread it around. Post links here and there. You find an article that's interesting, which you should be able to find something interesting there if you're into biblical studies. Some controversial, some interesting, perhaps something a little even a little revealing, or crosstheborder.org. All of these Bible studies are there eventually, if they're not there yet. You can find interesting conversations on the prophecy reality page there between myself and Tom Fress or other topics. So please visit there. Look at the Contact Me page there and contact me. Leave me a message there. Also note that on Wednesdays, doing a live broadcast here, so would like you to, if you can't listen live in the AM on the Pacific Coast or at noon on the East Coast on Wednesdays, well, you could leave a message and ask me to cover this topic or suggest a guest that you think might be compatible or challenging or for whatever reason. Leave that information there on the contact page on crosstheborder.org. That's Wednesdays live. If you can be there, well, be there and participate in the chat room by calling in or however you want to. Also, suggest to other broadcasters that they have me on as a guest. You know, there are many topics that we could discuss. You can pick one or two or more topics from my website, different articles, the video. There are plenty of topics that we could discuss. And so I promise to make it interesting and if not controversial to be a guest on somebody's program. Okay. Yes, I was looking at this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Of course, a reference there in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, to the coming forth of the Messiah. And I read in Colossians 2, 9, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. An interesting statement about the Messiah who came forth. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's almost like a riddle. You know, sometimes things are kind of like a riddle. There are mysteries in the Word of God. There are plenty of mysteries. And there's a mystery here where it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And of course, that other mystery there we're reading about where it says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this, even here in Colossians, where that's recorded for us, of Paul's writings, he calls it a mystery. And let's see, where does he say that? He uses the word mystery. Oh, yes, here it is in verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the, going on here, beholding your order and the steadfastness. Oop, that's not the one. Ah, yes, it's in the prior verse. There it is. He says, all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Now, many people hold to a Trinity doctrine, and I don't hold to a Trinity doctrine. You know, a lot of people ask me, do you believe in the Trinity? And I always tell them, well, you know, I believe what the Bible says, and show me the word Trinity in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. I'll say, okay, well, show me the Trinity in the Bible. And then they'll read something like this. be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, there it is. Well, yeah, there it is. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I guess that's a Trinity of a sort, but it's not a Trinity doctrine. I don't find a Trinity doctrine in the Scripture, so I don't like to argue doctrines from outside the Scripture. Do I believe in the deity of Messiah? Yeah, I believe in that. You know, I believe what the Scripture says, and it's a mystery. So for me to try to put it into a doctrine so that people who don't understand the mystery can have a way of articulating it, it doesn't matter. If you don't understand the mystery, what good is a doctrine? It's no good at all if you don't understand it. You know, it's kind of like you're building a formula that you can understand. And if people try to take something, a mystery in the spirit, and put it into words or into a formula to break it down into, a temporal terms, they still don't understand it. It says here that he, in him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? Oh, I believe that, yes, the Heavenly Father prepared a body for himself, and he inhabited that. But I also believe that in that body, the Godhead was limited by that body, because he wasn't God Almighty standing there, but he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There were limitations placed upon him by that body, but apparently there were that he exercised some seemingly powers that we don't exercise today, which are demonstrated in the Scripture. And I believe perhaps that those things have been limited in us, that the Heavenly Father has limited mankind, or the capacity, the brain capacity of mankind. And, you know, even science backs me up here, is that most people use less than 10% of their brain capacity. So, and this also overthrows evolution, because why, if evolution is the thing, why did evolution go beyond? I mean, if things are evolving, why would evolution evolve a brain of which mankind only uses 10% or less of? I mean, the most genius of mankind would use full 10% of his brain. You know, the people with the highest IQs today. It's also my contention that Adam and Eve, when God made man, when he made Adam, that Adam had 100% use of that brain capacity. And that would make him, you know, kind of a Superman compared to us. We see that the Messiah, he was able to slip out, also appear in places. How about when Philip met the eunuch and he was, well, translated or transported by some power, perhaps, that God created in man? Perhaps man was created with abilities that far exceed abilities that people only dream about. Perhaps, you know, a lot of the things that people speculate about. You know, maybe we don't need mechanical transporters like in Star Trek. Maybe we can, you know, we will be able to. And I really believe this, that in the resurrection, we will be able to. And I can understand if man was created with these powers of his mind, why the Heavenly Father would limit them, because of the sinfulness of man. That's right. Because men would use those powers for evil. And I believe perhaps that is a lot of what was really going on before the flood, that men had a lot more use of that, you know, the brain in the chasm of their mind, and to use that for dark things or evil, then it would be literally survival of the strongest and the strongest mind. that would survive it. But it says, you know, of course, it says that the earth was full of violence. So I think the violence was far less limited because what man could do with his mind was exceedingly above what we can do today. I mean, you hear about people bending spoons and stuff like that. Well, that's just a little taste, you know, and they have to strain their brain to do that. But just think if you didn't have to strain your brain to do things like that. And just think if you could travel or transport yourself. Really, no need for automobiles if you could transport yourself and things. See, that's why we have automobiles today and trucks and trains and airplanes. Because we need those things because we can't do that with our mind. So we need devices to do it for us. So we harness, you know, the forces of nature to do those things for us. But what if the power of our mind could do those things? And I believe that a power of our mind, we will be able to do those things. For those of us that are that take part in the resurrection, you know, that last trump event before the seventh millennia begins, when we're changed or when we're raised from the dead and we receive our glorified bodies, I believe that we will be able to travel like that. Of course, the mortals, I believe there also will be mortals on the earth, people being born and living on the earth at that time, the thousand-year reign of Messiah. There will be several classes of people, you know. There will be those that are living on the earth and being born and dying and having children and living out their mortality. But we who are in Messiah, these are the promises of the Messiah. These are the things that I find in the scripture that I believe in. This is my hope. Oh, it's better than, you know, the hope of all those other religions out there. And it's better than the hope of the atheists who are satisfied with dirt and living on in the memories of their loved ones. Yeah, wake up call for all of you atheists who think it's going to be good enough to live on in the memory of your loved ones. Just think about all of your loved ones who have passed on and how the memories fade, you know, and think about how they're alive in your memories. Is that the kind of life you want? Is you going to settle for that? Saying you're asking me to trade in the promises that I find in the Bible, the promises of God, for that? Pitiful. In my eyes, you are without hope. You have no hope. If dirt and memories is all your hope, and you're going to even be disappointed in that because you're self-deceived, you don't want to know the truth. You want to believe in dirt and memories so that you can continue in your sins without punishment. Without accountability. What a delusion. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, I can't build a doctrine, you know, and give it a label like a Trinity. But do I believe that Messiah, that he was deity? Yes, I do. I believe that that God was there. And I believe that God can do that. I believe that he can be there and also be almighty. Where in the third heaven where he dwells, however that works, I don't know. Some things are beyond my feeble understanding. So I'm not going to try to impose a doctrine on other people and label it the Trinity. So perhaps I'm not a Trinitarian because I've thought of this too. See, because if I say that God is three in one, well, maybe he's seven in one. Who am I to limit him to a Trinity? Maybe he's a seven-part being, or maybe he's an infinite-part being. Maybe he's not a Trinity at all, or even a seven-part. Maybe he's a 12-part. See? Why am I going to limit him to just what he's revealed to me and say, well, this is God. I'm putting him in a box. I have the Trinity box. I'm going to put God in the Trinity box. And see, these are the things I think about. That's why I can't buy into the doctrine. But people, you know, they've got their pat little doctrines and their pat little verse ways of saying it. And if anyone doesn't go along with it, well, you're a heretic and worthy of burning at the stake or something. Well, Yes, I guess there are plenty out there that think I'm a heretic already. I'm sure the Pope, if he could cast judgment on me today, they would be burning me at the stake tomorrow, because according to him, I'm definitely a heretic. And all of his daughters, yes, all of the Protestant daughters that hold to Catholic doctrine, basically, just don't want to admit it. They celebrate Ashtaroth, you know, just like those pagan Romans did, celebrated Easter, or that one word in the Bible, the word Easter is once in the Bible. It says that Pilate put off something till after Easter. That's because he didn't want to interrupt his celebration. It wasn't saying that Easter is in the Bible and made it a Christian holiday. Read it in context. It was a pagan holy day. It was the Romans that put it off because they didn't want to interrupt their pagan Ashtaroth goddess fertility worship weekend. So you can just imagine what they were doing on that weekend, on Ashtaroth, or Easter as they call it today. So we have mysteries throughout the scripture. And I love the mysteries of God, and I believe that we find answers in the scripture to these mysteries. So here's a mystery here. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yes. The mystery of God and the Father, and of the Father and of Christ. The mystery of Him. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So yes, you know, there's the statement. If I have a statement about was Messiah deity? In Him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's my answer. I'll just pull it directly from the scripture. So make of that what you will. There's a mystery there. And some things, you know, I know that He prepared a body for Himself and that He was there. You know, I also read this. This is funny. I read, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. You ever ponder that? Beholding the evil and the good. Where can you go where He doesn't see? Do you hide so that you can break His law without Him seeing you? I doubt it. Where can you go? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. So I pondered that, and I go, you know what? They are. They're in every place. The eyes of the Lord. Just look around. There are eyes all around you. You know, all of the insects have eyes. Guess who they belong to? The Lord. So they are the eyes of the Lord. Oh, even the eyeballs in your own head are His. So if the eyes of the Lord are in every place, that means He sees everything through every eye there is. There are eyes in this room where I'm sitting that are so small that I can't even see them. And what are they doing? They're beholding the evil and the good. Who do they belong to? Well, they belong to the One who created them. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And see, these are all things pertaining to the spiritual realm. Because we're talking about a circumcision made without hands, buried with Him in baptism. That's what the baptism signifies, that we're buried with Him and risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. And you being dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We'll jump back into our text here. We made it to, Micah chapter, where are we? Where did we leave off here? We're in chapter 6 toward the end here. Let's see. I have showed thee, O man, What is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth into the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, or with the bag of deceitful weights? So if you're using a wicked balance, you have deceitful weights. So shall I count them pure? Well, of course, the answer is no, because it's a question. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also I will make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Straighten up, repent, the kingdom is at hand. If you don't repent, this is your end. He says he's going to make you sick in smiting you, making you desolate because of your sins. You know, is there no fear in the land? Is the whole modern church bereft of the fear of the Almighty? You shall eat, but not be satisfied, he says. And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. And thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab. So these are the statutes of the wicked, Omri. Ahab, of course, Ahab was a king, and he had a wife named Jezebel. He had a wife named Jezebel. It says here, for the statutes of Omri, wicked and evil statutes are kept. In Israel, referring to wicked kings who made wicked decrees and statutes and judgments and laws. So we have it today. We have wicked leaders, the basis of men. We have an Ahab in the White House in America and ruling the entire country. He says, you shall walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation and the inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back after the news.